Our first scripture reading today comes from Genesis chapter 2. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no vegetation of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put a man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. Our second reading comes from Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more light, no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true, for the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. See, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God."
If you could boil Christianity down to one phrase, I think a phrase that would be in the running, in the conversation, is that it's all a gift. That life is a gift. It's all a gift from God. The story of God begins with the gift of a garden. God gets dirty, as any gardener does. His hands get dirty, his knees get dirty, his back gets sore. It's really intimate what happens in this story. In the opening poem of the Bible, we have a creation story that's dictated by time, and then it moves into a story that's dictated by place. And the place, this garden, says something about God, which is that God is the giver of the gift of life. First thing that God creates in this story in Genesis 2 is Adam. And his name is a play on Adamah, which just means dirt. It's Hebrew for dirt. So we are forever connected with the dirt. God creates the first human being who is inseparable from soil. I love how the voice, this interpretation of scripture puts it, divine breath and sculpted earth came together to make up the living soul. And then there's the gift of the garden, right? Eden, this word literally means delight. It's a place that's teeming with life. God makes the ground pregnant with life, bursting forth with nourishing food and luxuriant beauty. And there's the gift of water, this stream that rises up from the middle of the earth and that turns into a river that flows from Eden. Imagine hearing this as the original people heard it, a desert people. People in the ancient Near East who did not have easy access to water. Water that could create vegetation like trees, all of these trees in the garden, which are beautiful to look at and delicious to eat. And there's two distinct trees in the middle of this garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And of course, there is also the gift of work. Now, many of y'all are like, that ain't no gift. But it is. It's a gift of work. Adam is placed in the garden to work it, to till the soil, to steward God's creation. But Adam is alone, and God sees that Adam is alone. So the master potter goes to work. He takes some earth and sits at the potter's wheel and starts to spin and starts to throw out these creatures at Adam. And it's kind of this fun little parade as these animals are paraded in front of Adam, and he gets to name them, right? And you can kind of imagine him like, I don't know, platypus, right? Pony, right? Looks at one, it's like, ooh, this is a tough one. Pig, right? He gets to name these animals that are paraded in front of him, but even though he has companionship with these creatures, something's still missing. He still feels alone. So God puts Adam to sleep, right? And creates another human being, a very similar human being, but with some slight differences. And we have the gift of Eve for Adam. This beautiful relationship, maybe the best gift, the gift of connection, the gift of human companionship. And after all these gifts, all the giftedness that God is throwing at the world and at Adam and Eve in this beautiful place, a place that is fertile, a place of paradise, something goes wrong. We get greedy. The boundaries of this garden are maybe too much. And there's only one rule that God says in nourishing themselves of eating fruit. Don't eat the fruit of this one tree. We wanted utopia, which in the Greek literally means no place. God says, don't eat from this one tree, but that's the tree we want to eat from, the tree of knowledge. We want to know, to satisfy our not knowing. We want to know like God knows. Gifts are not our strong suit. Receiving gifts, not really a strength of ours in our culture, right? You receive a gift, you think, am I going to be in debt for this? Are there strings attached? And if there is a debt, am I going to have to repay it in some way? Is it going to threaten my independence? Is it going to threaten my pride? Am I now going to owe someone something? One of my favorite illustrations of this is in The Office. When Dwight, the episode where Dwight brings in authentic New York bagels for the office. And he does this to try and get everyone in the office to owe him a favor so he can get Jim fired. So he brings in these bagels, and Andy is incapable of receiving a gift without returning a gift. Anyone else like that in this room? Like, you gotta give something back when someone gives you something? So he decides to polishes Dwight's briefcase. And Dwight's like, well, this won't do. I need him to owe me a favor. So he like opens the door for him as he leaves. And Andy's like, well, let me get this other door for you. And they go back and forth and back and forth. And Dwight's like, let me give you a fitness tip. If you clench your buttocks while you walk, it really takes the pressure off your knees. Feel free to use that. And Andy's like, oh my gosh, your jacket is all messed up. Let me help you straighten that. You can't walk around here looking like cattywampus. And Dwight's like, let me help straighten your tie. And they're going back and forth. One of my favorite ones is when Dwight says, I'm going to preemptively change the batteries in your wireless mouse. I'm going to do it. And they go back and forth. And then Andy eventually buys tacos for the entire office for lunch. And Dwight tries to get in front of it. He's like, I'm going to make everyone's taco in the office. And then I'm going to clean up after everyone. And Andy realizes that he has lost this battle of gift giving, that he can't top it. So he asks Dwight, will you do me a favor? And Dwight thinks he's won, right? And he's like, will you help reach something that I can't reach on the top shelf, the highest shelf in the office? And Dwight, who's tall, is reaching for it, and he's reaching higher, and he's like, man, it's really back there. You're really gonna owe me for this one. And then he's like, I know. And he reaches back and he pulls it out, and it's a gift card. And he says, it's for me and everyone in the office. The funniest part is it's for $15 to Starbucks. So it's like, you do the math and it's people contributed like 80 cents a piece to this. So maybe for you, it is politeness, especially being raised in the South, right? My mom used to say, you don't get to open any gifts until the thank you cards are written. Had to write them first. And I'm like, how do I even know what to thank them for? It's not even unwrapped. She's like, all right, you can open them, then write the thank you notes, then enjoy the gifts. Maybe that's how you were raised too. You have to reciprocate, right? To eliminate the potential for any sort of debt. Maybe for you, politeness isn't the problem. Maybe for you, it's patience. Having the patience for gifts, because we live in a society where anything you want is one click away. I would be lying to you if I said, on my way to church this morning, I didn't add something to our Amazon cart. And hours are always weird with Prime now. It's like, do you want to receive it between 2 a.m. and 7 a.m. or during a normal people's hours? And I'm like, I don't want people to have to work during that time. And I don't really want toothpaste showing up at like 2 a.m. Someone like lurking on the front porch with Crest. 11 a.m. is fine, right? But this is the society we live in. It's one click of a button and it shows up. Recently, one of my favorite bands, Angels and Airwaves. Any fans? Tough. It's tough for me. You know, it's hard being a pastor because you put yourself out there and no one reciprocates with the gift of vulnerability. Their first record, We Don't Need to Whisper, it's incredible. I encourage you to listen to it, especially if you're a fan of Blink-182. Blink-182 breaks up. Tom DeLonge goes off on his own, makes this perfect record with Angels and Airwaves, We Don't Need to Whisper. It was the soundtrack of my high school experience. And I am a collector of vinyl, so I have to get this record on vinyl. I have to have that piece of my life on a shelf so I can go back in time and experience it. It's like $500. And I'm like, ooh, that's tough. I don't go over the $100 limit. I find out they're going to reprint their first record. I'm so excited. I'm telling my wife about this. It's $120, pretty steep, can't do it. So I get on the electronic bay. I get on eBay and I'm looking for it. And I find it for like 80 bucks, 75 bucks, something like that. And I'm like, perfect, click. Shows up to my house. I show it to my wife. I've been talking with her about how they're reprinting this. I got it for 80 bucks. Thanks be to God. You can't pass up on these savings. And she says, you did not buy that record. I said, what's the problem? We don't need to whisper. It's one of the greatest records of all time. She goes, you idiot. I bought you that record for Christmas. And now you're going to have two because I'm not returning it. And she gave it to me, to her credit. She gave it to me on Christmas, and now I have two of my favorite records, one of which is unopened, and if you want me to sell it to you for $500, I will. Just come find me. When it comes to gifts, patience is important, right? Patience is important. Gardens don't grow overnight, but often for us, it feels like it's taking too long. God gives the gift of life and all of these life-giving gifts. And the story goes, as we've experienced in our own lives, that we say, no thanks. Right? We reject it. And in many ways, the Bible is the story between the middle of these two stories. Everything that happens between the opening and the closing, which we just heard read. The rejection, where God moves towards us and we say, no thanks, and we move away. And God continues to move closer towards us, and we move away. Maybe we don't want the debt. Maybe we don't have the patience. Maybe at times the fruit of the world just looks too good not to taste. God gives paradise, and we want that fruit. God gives manna, but we want meat. God gives Sabbath rest, but we want to prove ourselves. God gives the prophets, the gift of the prophets, but we want a king so that we can be like the other nations who have kings. And when all else fails, when God runs out of ideas for gifts that we would be able to accept, what does he do? He gives a piece of himself, his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And what happens? We reject him too. Sentence him to die, the death of a criminal. But thank God that this gifted plan is already in motion, and his gift is not contingent upon our ability to accept it. In the place of Jesus' body, God enters into the brokenness of this world to redeem us And we see it all throughout the Gospels, the stories of Jesus planting seeds of healing and feeding and forgiving and these seeds of justice. It's no wonder that after he's resurrected and comes out of the tomb, who do they mistake him for? The gardener. In resurrection, death does not get the final word over creation. The gardener is still at work, his hands and his knees still dirty, his hands still open with the wounds of crucifixion. The Bible begins in the garden, and it ends with this future vision of a garden-like city. I want to read the vision that we get from John the Revelator. This is the first Bible that I was given. It has my name on it. It's an old version of the NIV, and it has the hometown I'm from, the Woodlands. I had this sticker on it for years, and everything came off except my hometown, and I've just left it on there. This is the place that I go back to when I need to hear from God. Maybe you have a Bible like this on your shelf. I'm going to read this vision of what is to come. I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes and receive this gift. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen.